I'd like, by the help of the Lord, to talk on the subject of thorns. In Luke, the 8th chapter, 5th verse says, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. Thinking about, I don't know if you have it here in Oklahoma or not, but we have back home what's called multiflora rose. And multiflora rose was not native to West Virginia, but somebody had a big idea, and I'm not sure where it came from, but I believe it was developed, and it seemed like a really good idea, because multiflora rose is a very large briar. It's very strong. It makes quite a hedge line, and they brought it in there with the idea that it would be a great way to make a barrier, to make a hedge. It would be like a super barbed wire fence. I mean, the thorns are very large and sharp, and the plant seeds would not germinate and grow. If you would pick them off of the plant, or if they fall directly to the ground, they won't grow. So the idea is that you could plant a hedge, but that's the only place it would be. And you could keep that hedge, and you'd make quite a fence line with it. But what actually happened was that they didn't understand it altogether, and the seed would germinate if it passed through the digestive system of a bird. And where they thought they was bringing in a plant that would be totally in control. You could totally control it. It couldn't spread beyond its roots. And so there would be no spreading of it. And if you put it down that line, that's the only place that it would be. But birds will do what birds will do. And the birds would eat the seeds, and the seeds would germinate, and the birds took the multiflora rose all over the place. Multiflora rose there is quite a nuisance for farmers, because once it's there, it is really, really hard to get rid of. It takes a lot of effort, and I've tried to do it by hand. And on the hillsides there, a lot of times in West Virginia, those mountainside farms, having a tractor with a brush hog wasn't the option. The option was to get in there and try to get in under. There was enough to cut them and try to pull them out of there. And you talk about a job. Those things are so painful when they grab you and they lock on. And it is an awful job to try to deal with those multiple rows. In control, when they're in control, you got control of them, they're very useful. But out of control, they're a nuisance, they're an aggravation, you can't go where you want to go. They cause a lot of problems. Now, I've never heard of anyone dying from a multiple rose. I've never heard of anybody. I've heard of a lot of scratches and a lot of cuts, but I've never heard anybody dying from it. But they're thorns. They keep you from doing what you need to do because of they're really a tough thing to deal with. This scripture goes on and gives the definition of this. The 11th verse says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, And cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Remember, Brother Ed made a comment a couple of times, and he said that there's a part for us to do and there's a part for God to do. We can't do His and He won't do ours. I want us to consider that tonight, because there is a place in our experience with the Lord that you're responsible. You're responsible for the briars that are in your life. God's got everything that God will do His part perfectly. But He'll leave it to us to groom, to dig, to pull out, to deal with the briars of our own life. Now they have some specific definition to them. We know what the briars of the thorns of the Scriptures are. We know what they are because it gives us definitions. And it's not sin. It's not talking about evils here. It's talking about our fleshly carnal desires and life and how far we go with that and what we do with it. We'll eat when we're hungry, but you don't have to eat it all. Know what I mean? We've got, it says, the Scripture says, starting off, the cares of life. Well, by its definition, it's a care. What am I supposed to do? It's called a care. I do have to care. I mean, my family's got to eat. I've got to take care. It's a care. We're going to have some place to live. It gets cold up here in West Virginia in the wintertime. So I got to care of making sure I've got enough. We heat with wood. I've got to make sure that I've got about 20 truckloads of wood in there. And I'm going to have to take time to do that. It's called a care. Most everybody here that I can look and say, and I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody if it was otherwise, but the fact of it is that most of you had a care about coming to service tonight. I can look at you and tell you that you generally put on something a little nicer, a little different than what you worked around the house in or went on the jobs on. You do it because you take a care. And there's a care on it. The Lord's not telling us not to care. But He's warning us. That the cares of life are thorns. And the cares of life in their proper place will be a great benefit to you. But when we start allowing the cares of life, the cares of this physical body, to be more important than our duly worship to God, what we have to do, when we allow what we're going to do to be more important than worshiping God, we're allowing it to become a thorn in our life. It's going to make its mark on our lives. So one of the thorns is the things we do. We got to be able to control our lives and not have it control us. We're going to have to be able to say no to things that come up in our lives sometimes. We all want a good place to live in or a better car that runs. I do a lot of travel and I want one that runs. I want one that does good. But where do we have to have it at? Our present time is softening us so much that I hear it all the time, and I don't want to be judgmental. I hope you ain't thinking that I am. But I hear it regularly is why I feel like service, I kind of had a headache. Well, you kind of got to get up and go to work in the morning if you kind of got a headache. Because the boss don't appreciate it when just kind of a headache keeps you from the job. I worked on a job that my boss at the time, he was a good man, but boy, I'm telling you what, you had to be nearly one foot in the grave to get by with staying home on when something was needed done. Well, we can make some really some good ideas about not what we oughtn't we don't have to do or what we shouldn't do. But if we would take the, this is the whole idea of it. Is that God is more important. Our eternal life is more important than our natural one. And when we start allowing the cares of life, yeah, I've got to make a living. But do I have to make that much of a living? Where do I draw back and say, yes, I need a house, but do I need that big a one? I need some money, that's a savings, or I need some money, but do I need that much? John D. Rockefeller was asked one time, how much is enough? And he said, just a little more. Because a little more is always going to be the answer. A little more. A little more. But you and I most generally make sure we eat our meals. But can we have the heart of David that says that I love thy word, O Lord, more than my necessary food? It's a care of life that we're all going to have to contend with. But to be able to corral it and put it in its right place, that it doesn't hinder our service. And we don't allow this modern age to soften us down to the point that we can't do anything. Lord help us. This is not a pet peeve. I just want to mention it. And in whatever place you fall on this idea, but I went to Monarch Springs the first time in about 86. So I kind of missed the glory days of the old pup tents and all the cots and all the things that people did. But now, we don't have to do that. But would you? I mean, it's a legitimate question of where we've come from. Honestly, there's been people that said, I just about suffocate to death to get the Word of God. I would sit under just about anything to be able to hear what the Lord's doing, to hear a message, to hear the singing. I would just about give anything to it, down to the point that it's saying it's just too hot, I'm going to stay in my cabin. But we are, these things are relevant to how we serve God. Now, I don't know if Sister Irma still has it, but I remember she had there used to be, maybe you still have it, but the picture with the people that was from Africa there and had the caption under the, I was impressed by the caption that said that these people walk like 2 and 3 days through the jungle and all. They drove all 2 or 3 days to get to the meeting. They walked 2 or 3 days to get to the meeting. What's that?
Barefooted.
To get to the meeting. Why? Why? Because they had an urgency about it. A need about it. Yeah, they had fewer cares, folks. When you look at it, you could probably whittle it down to fewer cares. Well, they obviously had time to walk 2 or 3 days. I imagine they'd have to walk back when it was over. And probably with the same bare feet. It probably didn't do no better financially by going. Well, Lord help us, because we live in a time. Thorns are very, very relevant to our day. We'll look and say, I'm prospering. Look, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. Everything's in a good, in my life is everything's good. But what about our soul in the middle of it all? It starts off with the cares of life. Yeah, you gotta work, but you can't allow it to be all the time. You can't allow it to be all the time. You have to do it, but you've got to be the boss of it. You've got to, Lord help us to be the boss of our time. If I can't manage my time, then what am I going to do for the Lord? I've got to be able to manage it. It's a must. The cares of life are all around. Yeah, but I'm going to have to manage it. Brother Salmon used to say, heard him say it several times, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to come to service, you're too busy. If you're too busy to dedicate yourself to the camp meeting, you're too busy. You're too busy. It's called the cares of life. It's called taking care of this body's need, this fleshly need. Lord help us. This is a legitimate time, a subject for our time. We get too busy with the things around us. Make it too important in our lives. And so the Lord gave us a good warning. It says, are choked. That has meaning to it, choked. Choked, just a drawing in. Just drawing in. It isn't an instant death. It's just a choking. It's just a choking. Choking on down. More and more. More and more. The more involvement you do. I said this several years ago. It's very relevant to the topic. The scripture has a real provision, the Old Testament scripture, about work on the Sabbath day. And Jesus even referred to it. About an ox. If your ox be fallen in a ditch, which one of you wouldn't on the Sabbath day get your ox out of the ditch? Well, that was acceptable. Everybody understands that. But I'll say this. If you don't have an ox, he won't be in the ditch. So you get you an ox, then you are liable to have to get him out on the Sabbath day. You get two oxes, you're twice as likely. You spend your whole time, your whole effort, building you up a herd of oxen, and guess where you're going to be on the Sabbath day? Not this coming, not next, every day. You're going to be so wrapped up in getting oxen out of the ditch, you're not going to be able to serve the Lord. So this is the idea of it. You be careful with your oxen that you don't need. Or you might think you need, but the question is this. Will this hinder my service to the Lord? Because if this is going to hinder my service with the Lord, it isn't worth it no matter what I get out of it. My service to the Lord is more important than this natural life that I have here and taking care of it and making things better and better and better. I think it's right to have some industry about our lives. The Bible teaches that we should have. We should be people that learn and work and are above reproach and all that. But we can take that so far out there and be so diligent with it that we don't give our normal, our heart's desire to the Lord. And it chokes. It says he choked with the cares. The cares of life. There's all kinds of cares of life. There's a home to live in. And how comfortable it is. Well, I have a recliner at my house with just basically my chair. Got all my things right around it. Makes it real easy for me to reach this way or reach that way. And when I'm feeling good and lazy, I'll just ask one of my children sometimes, hey, would you reach me the phone, or would you go get me the phone? Or I can really get kicked back, and we all can understand that. Sometimes it feels pretty good, but you better be watching out about how at ease you get, because this is warning us here of this very thing, the cares of life and the riches. How much is enough? How much is enough to get by on? I'd like to have just a little more. I'm going to be honest. I'd like to have just a little more than enough to get by on. Years ago, there was a situation arose where a certain member of the congregation had kind of got some ill feelings. And it said that the congregation wasn't doing them right because they was in a situation that they should be taking care of them, helping them. And well, that touched me. I want to do what's right. And this person was saying that they had these bills that was due and all that. And so finally I got with this person and said, okay, I'm willing to help. I'm willing to help just me. I'm willing to help. So I said, but let's get right down to it.
what do you exactly need?
Well, I got these bills and all, and okay, no, I want to get down to specifics here. What bills do you have?
Well, electric bill, phone bill, this bill, this and this.
And what does that come to? And that's bottom, it's dollars? Well, no. I want to help. Give me the bottom figure. Well, this is the bottom figure. Then I say, so how much do you have? Huh? Well, this is the way it works. You owe so much, you got so much. The way it works in my house. How much you got? Well, I got some. No, how much you got so I'll know. Well, listen, I got enough to pay it. But if I pay it, I won't have nothing. I said, if I pay it, I won't have nothing. So what do you want in here? Go ahead and pay your bills, then complain how bad we are. No. What we want sometimes is more. Of course we want to be comfortable. We want to be secure. We want all those stuff. But where do we quit running ourselves, doing and doing and doing at the expense of our souls? That's why he gave us such a warning. The word of God fell among thorns. And people wouldn't pay attention to it. Well, they went to service, maybe hearers and dearest, but they wouldn't give it time. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if you're hearers only, you deceive yourself. Be doers of the word. Let it be, take root in your life. Get the thorns out. I got too much going on. Cut it off. Cut it out of your life. But it's not worth that. Yeah, I mean, it's wonderful to have a reputation. I'm somebody that can do it, but what are you doing? The cares of life and the riches. If I can have a little bit more, I'd love to have this. And in order to do that, what? You know another story? Guy, I said, well, you ought to go to the camp meeting. And he says, well, I can't. I can't go. Well, why can't you? Well, because I've got this to pay for. I got this to pay for and this to pay for. I got all this debt. And I said, you work all the time. He said, I know. You're working all the time and getting more in debt? Boy, there's something wrong with that. Working all the time is supposed to pay that all off and get ahead. Not if I want riches. Not if I want things. So not long after that, I was thinking, well, we didn't pray. Well, I want out from under. Pray. Well, Lord, help you with that. And when no time, I don't have time. Well, Marty, come look at this travel trailer I got. I'm like, you did what? Yeah, I got this travel trailer. What about this travel trailer? Why? Pretty expensive stuff. Well, yeah, but that ain't the worst part. Now I need a truck to pull it with. Forget the camp meeting. Forget your desire to do anything else because you're stuck. You got obligations. This is the warning. This isn't to be hard on us or anything. This is the warning. You can't do this and bear much fruit. You do this and the fruit that you get is going to be to the flesh. You're not going to bear the fruit. It chokes the cares of life and riches. And oh, here's a big one for our day. And the pleasures of this life. Now you think of what that, the pleasures of this life. If we could only have, and you all have heard me, you Oklahomans have heard me tell this many times, but it was so impressive to me that I was up here at Guthrie one time. It was on a Saturday morning and I turned the radio on and there was this little dilly from Norman, Oklahoma. And they said, I don't know what the color is, crimson or whatever. Hey, how does it look? What does it look like out there at the stadium? And all they had a reporter out there and he says, it's a sea of crimson. I thought, oh, it's a Saturday. They must be playing a football game. Well, I'm thinking, I mean, it's 10 o'clock in the morning or something. At 8 o'clock. I mean, it was in the morning. And I said, sea of crimson. And I
Oh, wow, they must be going to be playing a game. Probably playing at noon. A little bit, the announcer said, all right, game, kickoff's at 6. See it, Crimson? The whole place was crowded out there already, and it wasn't going to kick off till 6 o'clock. Could you imagine? Parking lot full, everybody waiting for the doors to open, singing songs while we're out in the parking lot, getting ready, pumped up for the Lord. Don't work that way. We'd be better off if it did, but it don't work that way. It works that way for the flesh, but the children of the Bible says that the children of the world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Did you know that? They know what it takes to win. But sometimes we don't give it the same kind of effort that the world will give. The pleasures of this life are sharp thorns. And it'll get us down to a lazy, lethargic attitude about stuff. These people over there that was on that poster that Sister Irma had walked 3 days with their bare feet to get to service. And it's hard for us to go in an air-conditioned car with all the luxuries at hand. It's hard to turn away from the technological world that we live in. I'm not preaching to throw it away. I'm preaching that you better be careful with what it does to you. If it becomes a briar, if it becomes something that you stick your mind onto that you can't get rid of, you can't serve the Lord like you ought to. You better control it. By the help of the Lord, control that. Because He warns us it'll bring forth no fruit. There's a scripture we want to look at in Luke 10. We'll try 38. It says, now it come to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now, I'm fairly positive about this, that Martha went to the Lord with what she supposed to be a very sound argument. Did she? Wouldn't you say that Martha would have had a very, she would have thought that all she would have needed to do was to bring it to the attention of the Lord, and the obvious injustice of it would stand out to everybody. So maybe this is a teachable moment to the Lord. We'll try to help him along a little bit here with the way we think about things. And so Martha went, disturbed that Mary was shirking her duties. Well, that ought to be right. Right in our human mind, shouldn't it be right? Two sisters there sharing the duties, 50-50. They had Jesus over at the house, and it only makes sense that why should one do all the work? So Martha had a good cause. It might have been a good cause, but she was altogether wrong with it. She didn't understand the value of what she thought was important. She thought that it would be the most important thing that you could do was to show the Lord the physical hospitality to make sure that him and his disciples would eat and be able. And we put a lot of emphasis on that in our circles. We want to make sure that the people that come around us, that we are reaching out a loving hand to them. It's a right to do. To what point? To what point? Should we really deny or neglect our service in the Lord to get it? What's the question? It's what happened here. Martha was covered about much serving. And she felt like Mary was shirking her, and she had double the work because Mary wasn't doing her share. So she goes to the Lord with a credible argument in her mind. You not care, Lord?
Have you not noticed? Surely you care. Do you not? She's left me to serve better than she come help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, 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 art careful and troubled about many things. You're anxious about many things. Martha, you need to learn something here. What you're doing is secondary. It's needful, but it's secondary. It isn't as important as you think it is. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Seek ye first the things of God. Give God what He's got coming to Him first. You're cumbered about too many things. It's hindering you. It's like briars to you. Martha, you're never going to produce fruit in your life like that. So, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She's for the eternal. Jesus turned it around in a reproof to Martha and said, Martha, if you understood it right, you would be with your sister at my feet. Listening. Because that's what's needful. The other things aren't needful. I mean, I'm glad our clothes, our color coordinated. It just looks better. I mean, I don't do mine. My wife does. I mean, I think it's okay sometimes, and she'll say, "Oh, honey, I'm with that." And listen, I'll just be honest with you. I change shirts sometimes. Sometimes I'll say, "Well, honey, what's wrong with this one? And it's not dirty." And she'd say, "You wore it last night." Well, I know, but it's fine. I mean, it's a shirt. No, you wore that. Wear a different one tonight. Well, no, it's just fine, sir. Well, does somebody really care about that? I'm glad there's some care. I'm glad that our shoes matches our belt. It's okay with me. But don't put too much emphasis on it. It's a secondary matter. If you put a blue sock on and a brown sock on because it's dim light, and you get halfway to service and notice it, go on to service. I mean, it doesn't matter. And if you're the kind to do it, you can just end the embarrassment by saying, "Look, I got two different kind of socks on, and my light wasn't good." And then it's over. Everybody chuckles, and it's over. Go to service. It's not that important. Well, I ain't going, no, I can't go because I got some stuff on my shirt. Really? If they can walk 3 days in bare feet, they don't even have their shoes matching their belt. It's about the Lord. Lord, help us. We get so... I'm not saying that we shouldn't do these things. I think we should wash our face, take a shower, clean it, make it look good as we can. Honor one another with that. That's good. But it isn't first. It isn't first. Serving God's first. Having a desire to have God in your life first. Yeah, we all are going to have some pleasure in life. This is not saying that there's bad things just by having pleasures in your life. It's bad when you make it thorns. It's bad when it becomes the dominant thing in your life that I can't do anything because I got to have these pleasures in my life. I'm soft. I can't have hardship. I can't go through a hard thing. And I'm not boasting on us at all, but I want to tell you in the work of the Lord, it isn't all comfortable sometimes. We drove many miles across through the nights and all those things and all kind of things, from children getting sick and throwing up in the van and all the other unpleasantries that go and crowding the family into a van and all those kind of things. Well, it's not all pleasure. But there's something rich about it. There's something right about it. Went to Pampa, Texas one time. Brother Philip remembers this. Went to Pampa, Texas one time. The first night in the house out there, there was like major train hub is Pampa, Texas. I don't know how many trains go through there a night. But I know it was like every 15 minutes there was a train. And it was like the first night is like no sleep, but just because like alarm goes off every 15 minutes through the night. Lynn and I had this air mattress that was, I called it Old Faithful. because the air went out of it at the same time every night. It was like at 3:30 you could count on my elbow starting to hit the floor, and you know, you'd be amazed how awake you are to get back up and blow that up with your mouth, a king size mattress, and blow that thing back up. And then it was like, let's just get up. I mean, you're wide awake by then. It isn't all comfortable, folks. It isn't all just luxury and things. And you do something for the Lord. Sometimes you gotta put out all the time you've gotta put out. Martha, it isn't about how good it tastes. We want it to taste good. Thank you, good cooks. I like good food, but it isn't about that. Is it? No, that's a secondary thing. Serve the Lord with your whole heart as a primary thing. Over and over in the scriptures, we're taught of those. Martha was one of them, and the Lord reproved her and said, you should be at Mary's, you should be with Mary. She's chosen the thing that can't be taken away. You get to the end of life, and how important is what you're doing? I don't think there's anything wrong with fishing. I like to fish. I like to hunt. I like to enjoy God's green earth and all the good things that He has. And I can walk through His woods and His mountains and just, and thank God for them. Wonderful that He done it. But that's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. And I can spend my life and enjoy in that. But it won't give me eternity. And I met a man one time. It was a sad end. It was in the hospital in Virginia, and the nurses got to know me, and they knew this guy, and they told me, said, you've got to meet him. He's from West Virginia too, and you guys will just click. And well, we met each other, and sure enough, we did just click. We was able to talk about a lot of things, and I always wanted to kind of ask him about his problem, and he had cancer, the reason he was in there, and so I ended up getting to ask him, so what's going on with you? And he said, man, old cancer come back. Said, I beat it once, and I'll beat it again. I couldn't get nothing more out of him. Time went on, and he loved to fish. And now when we talked, it was about fishing. He told me this and this. He liked to get his grandson and go out there, and boy, he liked catching those fish. And I remember vividly the day that I walked in, and the nurses and the family was all crying in the hall, and I said, what's going on? And they said, the doctor just told him, there's nothing else that they can do, and it's a matter of hours, just a very short time that he's going to be here. Oh, I would put just such a burden on my heart for him. And I thought, I wonder if his fishing God will give him any glory now. I wonder if his fishing God will give him any hope. That's all he wanted to do was fish. And one more cast. You think he was laying there about to go into the eternity thinking, I wish I could make one more cast. Oh, what a joy it'd be. No, it wasn't. He laid there. I tried to talk to him, and I couldn't even get him to respond to me. He could have responded, but he just wouldn't. He just laid there, tears on his, just looking up in the sky. Wouldn't even talk. Couldn't tell him nothing. He wouldn't respond to anything. Folks, you may be an OU fan. You might put your whole heart into it. When you get down to that time, OU ain't going to pull you out. They're not going to give you hope for nothing else. It becomes, you'll see what a thorn it had become. You'll see what a hindrance it's been to our proper course of serving God and giving Him all and letting the Lord lead us in our life. And you'll find out that it was a distraction, not a help. And most things in life will be that way, that we put too much emphasis on. We're to live a very moderate and careful life before the Lord. We're to make sure that the cares that we have of life are structured in our life to serve the Lord. Lord, help me to structure my cares of life. And give me that, don't give me riches or give me poverty, but give me that which is convenient for me. Don't allow me to get so much that I won't want to serve you. And don't let me be so poor that I'd want more. But give me a proper place, Lord, in my life that I might be able to serve you with my whole heart. No, don't be a Martha that wants to get sidetracked on the duties of things. I want to tell you just recently what the Lord did for me. And it was actually when my hand was so bad and didn't know what was going to happen with it. And the Lord was dealing with me. You know what I found out? I've been somebody over the years that wanted to serve the Lord. And I would go from one meeting to another meeting and feel like that was Lord wanted me to do it in one meeting to the other. And you know what I ended up finding out? The Lord started dealing with me. I appreciate it. But that ain't your salvation. I started making my service to the meetings and going to the meetings. I was making that my experience. And the Lord said, that's not it. You need a relationship with me. It's not about preaching. It's not about running. You know those can become cares. And we can get it all structures, and I care for this man, I care for that man, I care for that, and don't take time for my own soul. Lord help us. There's a number of people in the scriptures that did it. Jesus talked in one place about a man who dressed in purple and fine linens and fared sumptuously every day. Had a good life, didn't he? He had everything that he had and all those things. Why would he need for anything? There's also a man named Lazarus, a beggar that laid with sores on him and laid at the rich man's gate. And the rich man, Lazarus dies. And the rich man dies. And now is a scenario of what's going to happen. And Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man in hell lifts up his eyes. Why? It didn't say he was a bad man. No indication there said that he was an evil man or a bad man or that he didn't care for things. What was his problem? He let his sumptuous living be the foremost part of his life. He allowed his ability to have wealth to secure him in his life. And then he gave that life up. And in hell he lifts up his eyes. Begging for send Lazarus for a drop of water. Put on my tongue and I'm tormented in these flames, he says. Well, pretty easy thing to see. He got choked. He got choked out of living for the Lord. There was another man in the scriptures. He was a rich man and he still brought forth plenty. He was a rich man already. And his fields brought forth plentiful. So now he's a rich man and he's an extra rich man. And in his pondering, he says, what should I do? I know what I'll do, he says, in his heart. I'll tear down my barns. And I'll build bigger barns. And then I'll say to my soul, yes. I'll say to my soul, I'm choked with thorns. No, I'll say to my soul, take your ease, for you have much laid up for many years. And the Lord said, thou fool. This night shall your soul be required of thee. This night, what evil did he do? What would you do? Let it waste in the fields? What would you do if you had too much? Well, sure, you could give it away, but how fast could you? You'd need some place to store it in the meantime. Would you let it ruin? Would you give it away? There's nothing evil in the idea of building bigger barns. That wasn't his problem. He allowed what he had to be thorns. Done in a proper place, it would have been a nice tight hedge to keep things in, keep things out. But it wasn't. It was thorns that choked his own spiritual life out. Until he said, it was a blessing to have it, and I can say to my soul, you're okay in your present condition. And the Lord said, thou fool. Brother Kimball used to say, if the Lord calls you a fool, you're a fool. And he said, thou fool, this night is your soul required of you. Now, whose things? Who's going to get it now? Whose will that be now? Tonight you give it up. Was it really worth it to come down to the end without an experience in the Lord? Without knowing the Lord's blessing to allow these things to curse you out that you had no fruit in your life. You can raise your hand, you can sing the songs, and you can do that. But are you letting the Lord work in your life? Lord, help us. There's another case in the scripture. There was a young man came to the Lord. And he said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The Lord said, "Keep the commandments." And he said, I've done that from my youth. But this man had something going on inside him. Because he said to the Lord, "What do I lack?" And the scripture has specific meanings to it. That scripture says Jesus loved him in one of the Gospels. That means something. Jesus loves everybody. But there is a certain specific meaning of that scripture when it says he loved him. That meant that he was going to go, and because if it hadn't said, Jesus could have said, "I'm not," like he told the Pharisees, "I'm not going to tell you." But he loved him enough to tell him. That's what that means. He went beyond enough to tell him what he didn't want to hear because he loved him. And he said, "One thing thou lackest. Go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me." And it said that the young man went away sorrowful because he had great riches. And the Lord called for him. He called for him to clear the thorns out of his life. He called for to get what was hindering him. He don't call that for everybody because everybody don't make it thorns. But that man's thorns in his life was choking him out. He needed to get rid of it, and the Lord told him so. You want eternal life? You get rid of it. Get the thorns out of your life. It's not my responsibility, it's yours. It's your responsibility to make sure you're in a place that you can go to worship service on Sunday mornings. It's up to you to be able to say, "I've got time to go to the camp meeting. I've got time to worship the Lord. I've got time to pray. I've got time to read. I've got time to do what the Lord wants me to do. If He wants me to worship Him, if He wants me to witness for Him, I've got time because I've made time. I've given it to my wife." Paul told Timothy, he said that a good soldier entangleth not himself with the affairs of this world. You're going to be a good soldier. You can't be entangled. They didn't want them soldiers to have wives. You know that? I know why they didn't want them to have wives. Because they always want to go home. They always want to go back. There's certain things that they wanted. Don't entangle yourself. I ain't saying he was telling the ministers not to marry. I'm saying he was saying about don't entangle yourself. The more you get entangled, the more of the thorns of life are going to crush in around us. Lord, help us. Oh, let's see another scripture. 15th of John. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me." This is such an essential place for us in our day and time. Abide in me. You make your life in me. You make your life about me. You strive in your desires of what is important in life. Abide in me. If your hopes and dreams aren't abiding in the Lord, He's saying, "Abide in me." If you say, I got a career choice to make, I would recommend to you, for eternity's sake, that you make that decision with whether you can abide in Him or not. And how well you can abide in Him if you do that and you go down that course. "Abide in me," He said. "If you abide in me, I'll abide in you. But you're going to have to clear it out. I won't do it for you. You're going to have to clear it out and make room for me in your life. You're going to have the room in there. Abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. I think many times people are struggling. They're struggling to get a good hold, and they're struggling to be what the Lord wants them to be. And they want to do it right, and they're struggling many times. And many times they go to the altar, meeting after meeting. Everyone, go to the altar. But you need to clear out the briars. You need to clear out the briars. You think that there's a one-time quick solution at the altar where lightning flashes and thunder booms and I'm different and all the stuff's out of my life. Don't work that way. It works there by getting a desire there to go clean the field up. To get a desire there to go and take whatever it needs and whatever struggle it is, and you might get some scratches on you and you might bleed a little bit, but the briars has got to come out. I got to get that out of my life. It's too much a hindrance to me. It don't allow me to serve God the way I should. It don't allow me to have in my life what I should have in my life. The desires that we have. Folks, listen, everything we do is about you, the very things that you believe is all about whether you want it or not. Do you know that believing is a want to? You can believe anything you want to believe it. People all over the world believe all kinds of stuff because they want to believe it. That's why we got to want to serve the Lord. We got to want to do it. And Lord, help us to clear out the thorns out of my life. Get the thorns out of there because they just choke us down. And listen, I live in a house that can keep a moderate temperature all the time. I have a nice mattress on my bed with nice comforters on there. And we don't often have to have an air conditioner, but we can put a fan in the window. And the fan in there is to keep me comfortable and my wife comfortable and the friends, and we all like comfort and all that. But don't let that spoil you that you can't go through hardship for the Lord. I eat anytime I want to. I don't even have to be hungry because I can keep myself from being hungry. You don't even have to get hungry these days. There's enough food around. You don't even have to get hungry. You don't even already know what hungry is. Wouldn't do us any harm to have regular fasting times in our life. You know that? Well, it's biblical. If you're saying that, bro, I'm already getting too close, I'm just telling you it's biblical. You want to get all the Lord? Slay some stuff aside. Lay it aside. Be willing to go through some things for it. God sees that. Abide in me, he said, and I'll abide in you. Branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now here's the bottom line, folks. When we let the thorns, the cares of life, the riches of life, and the pleasures of life, when we let that keep us from having a good hold on the Lord, we can do nothing. And we'll have nothing. We'll have nothing. Because without him, we can do nothing. Our victory lies in our being hooked to Christ. Don't let anything hinder you from being strongly attached to the Lord, because all of our victory is in that being connected. You can't defeat the devil without being hooked to the Lord. He'll laugh at you. He'll laugh at your assumptions, at your statement. He'll laugh at your rebukes at him. A lot of people use that scripture. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I heard that on someone. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That ain't what the scripture says. It says submit yourself to God. And resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Don't just submit yourself to God. You resist till you're blue in the face, and he laughs at you because you ain't got no power unless you're hooked to the Lord. That's the victory. And what the devil is doing to try to keep us from being hooked to the Lord is to place so many thorns around us we can't get to him. When I have a desire to get to the Lord, it's just too much to get to. I've got too much stuff in there. Sometimes it's this phone call, that phone call, this duty, that thing needs done, this over here needs done. I've got to take care of this place and this place and this place, and I've encumbered myself with such a life that I don't even know how to get to Him. Get the brush hogs out. Get the brush hooks. Get whatever it takes and get that stuff out of there. And the Lord bless. And there is where real fruit and spiritual life will come. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth. Listen to this. This goes back to the other ones we heard about. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.